Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
This is CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor. Here's John Batchelor.
The New World Report with my colleagues Joseph Umar, the executive director of Secure Free Society, and Ernesto Araújo, former foreign minister of the Republic of Brazil. We begin in the year of democracy around the planet, but especially in the Americas. 7 elections, to my count, in Latin America, in the Americas this year. Mexico, Salvador, Panama, Dominican Republic, Venezuela, maybe Uruguay, and then, of course, the U.S. Joseph, I begin with you because you have a very convincing case for a secure free society. We have momentum for 2024 on your website. And you mentioned Argentina, a surprise at the end of the year. How do you see this year going forward with all of these votes and with the questions unanswered about 2023? Good evening to you, Joseph.
Good evening, John, and Happy New Year to you and to everybody listening. Yes, I think 2024 is going to be, obviously it's going to be a year of challenges. I've called it the year of chaos, but I think there's also going to be a tremendous amount of opportunity. And that opportunity in terms of the new world begins with what happened late last year in 2023 with Argentina. We had mixed results last year if you're a supporter of freedom in Latin America. We had some elections that didn't go, went towards more progressive radical leftist candidates, and you had others that went towards more moderate conservative candidates. But there hasn't been an election that went towards a candidate that has the potential momentum and leadership of Javier Milei in Argentina. We talked about it quite a bit during the run-up and after the election. And so I think that he has now positioned himself, Javier Milei, President Milei, as kind of the leader of the freedom movement throughout the Americas. That includes the United States and Canada with, you know, Justin Trudeau and Joe Biden in office. And Javier Milei has his hands full. Obviously, he has the economic situation with over 100% inflation, but he also has a security situation. And I'll give you a small example, John. You know, he quickly went to work and he immediately shut down many ministries in the government. He did one of the largest deregulations in the history of the country within a week's of being in office. And he also introduced new labor reforms around the middle of December. This is all within a couple weeks of being inaugurated. And when he was announcing his labor reforms, I believe it was December 20th, major protests were being planned. But much like what happened in Chile in 2019 and Colombia in 2021, these protests were being exacerbated and fueled by outside actors to take them from peaceful protests to riots and violence and the things that we saw in these other countries that pretty much destroyed those countries and led them to a path of destabilization. That was being prepared for Javier Milei right at the beginning of his presidency in conjunction with the announcement of these labor reforms. Thankfully, because of his national security team, which I have to give credit to where credit's due, Security Minister Patricia Bullrich, who we've talked about, is very strong in that position. They were able to neutralize these threats, both in terms of the digital disinformation and potential suspects. And they were able to, keep it as a peaceful protest and nothing, it was uneventful, nothing really happened. Aside from that, John, there was also a terrorist there. And we all follow what's going on in Israel and in the war in Gaza. But Hezbollah is active worldwide. And we know Hezbollah is a proxy of Iran and ally of Hamas. And in that, on around the same time that all this stuff was bubbling up with the protests and the announcement of Javier Milei's labor reforms, the security ministry found out that there was at least 3 individuals that were Lebanese and Syrian with fake Venezuelan documents entering the country, potentially to plan a terrorist attack. There was something called the Pan-American Maccabiah Games that was happening, which brings together a lot of Jewish athletes in Buenos Aires at the end of the year. And they think that there might have been a potential threat to the games itself by these suspected terrorists. So my point to all that, John, is to say that Argentina is under attack. They have a good team domestically that's doing a lot of the hard work to be able to make sure none of this topples their government. but we have to help them from the outside. And that's the opportunity, because if Argentina can survive these attacks, can continue to prosper, solve their economic situation, it's going to be a 180-degree reversal of failed policies in the past and gives momentum to important elections this year all throughout Latin America, including Mexico, and of course here in the United States.
You've met often with Patricia Bullrich, the security minister, and we've characterized her as representing the establishment, and certainly in security, she's been successful. What is the challenge for her? How do you characterize her ability to manage what we can presume to be repeated efforts to undermine the government, the present government, Milei, with elements of the Peronistas, the unions, and bad actors? How can she respond?
So she has experience in doing this. She was the security minister before. She also has a very competent team. I know many members of her team that are both in the security ministry, but also in specific sectors such as the federal police of Argentina, that are very good at disrupting and neutralizing these type of attacks. And they improved quite a bit, especially on the digital disinformation front. I think she's very capable. I think she's going to do a good job. But this is also a war of attrition. So for every attempt, you know, they have this saying in intelligence that our failures are known, our successes are not. And this is very much going to be the case in Argentina. I just gave you an example of a couple of successes that they've had that really didn't get a lot of promotion, except for Patricia Bullrich went on TV and talked about it in Argentina. But they're going to keep trying. And over time, it just takes one. And that's, you know, how these type of things work. Terrorism's the same way. You can stop 10 attacks and the 11th is the one that gets through. And that's what everyone's going to talk about. That's why I emphasize that it's going to be not just the security minister, Patricia Bullrich, that's going to have to take this under control. It's going to need a whole of government approach in Argentina. But more importantly, it's going to need a coalition of outside actors that includes both governmental outside actors or other governments in the region that are favorable to Argentina, such as Paraguay, such as Ecuador and others. But it also need non-governmental support. And I think that's why it's very important that all of us talk about Argentina. We shed light on the situation down there. We give them credit where credit's due. And we also highlight the threats that they're facing, which are a constant and continue to be growing.
Ernesto, a very good evening to you. As the former foreign minister of the neighboring Brazil, I note that the president of Brazil did not attend the inauguration of Mr. Milei, and there's reason to believe that there's enmity between Brasilia and Buenos Aires. But I call upon your opinion of the whole of the continent, in fact, all of the Americas. Is there intention to help or at least not block Milei's experimentation as he goes forward? Or is he seen as a threat to the other left of center administrations throughout the Americas?
Well, good evening, John. I think on the surface, there's no pressure against Milei, even from not from governments that are not aligned with his ideas. But I think there are several administrations, like Mexico, for example, that you just mentioned, that are invested in the opposite policies and the opposite geopolitical alignments. They don't want to see Milei succeed. So I would be more concerned with what happens below the surface with any sort of, let's say, sabotage of efforts to combat organized crime, or let's say not supporting Argentina in a more concrete way in multilateral organizations, for example, if they need their support. I think we're going to see some sort of silent narrative wars in the region. So all the press and social media aligned with the left trying to every day, like they're doing already, right? Every day to undermine Milei and say, oh, it's not working. More than governments actively going against him.
Speaking with Ernesto Araújo, former foreign minister of the Republic of Brazil, and Joseph Umar, the executive director of Secure Free Society, here at the beginning of a year of many democratic votes that are critical in the Americas. When we come back, Mexico, that's the big one. That's not only the Americas, it's North America as well. And the border, the southern border of the United States, is a constant threat to comity in the U.S. and a major factor, I'm told, in the current presidential campaign. I'm John Batchelor.